I mean, I would say that was our lives is just drunk history without the alcohol.
Yeah.
Every conversation we've ever had.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, there's like 10% truth, 90%
fucking around,
inaccuracy, 100% laughs. And that's as long as you get that template in a casual conversation, you're fine. You're fine.
I think so. I think it works. Yeah.
It works. You know, unlike the New York Rangers game plan, it works.
That being said, welcome to Draft Ants Hockey. We have a hell of a show, and we start off this show the way we always do with Fiala Watch. How'd our boy do this week, Ant?
He had 2 goals in 3 games, putting him at 30 on the season, his second time hitting 30 goals. The Kings are doing great. 13-3 since the All-Star break. They're prime position for going into the playoffs, and they're looking pretty good. And yeah, Fiala, I mean, you know, 2 goals. He consistently their best goal scorer.
Yep.
On the power play, Kempe's got the most goals. But, you know, again, this year they're playing. Hiller plays a more defensive style, and he's more of an open ice kind of player. And you know what? He found the groove. Yeah, he may not hit those 70 point seasons in this new system, but the fact that his goal scoring has not dropped, it's only increased over year since being a King. Mm-hmm. It is something nice to say. I mean, you know, he's doing pretty well in the new system there. That's only been like a year and a half, but I mean, they're obviously it's working. They're winning.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
The Kings are in good spot. All right. Well, let's move on to the week in review, and we cannot start this week without talking about without going to Vancouver first. Before I get into it, what are your initial thoughts?
Because
you know what I'm going to say.
About what? $8.95?
I was talking about the game. Dallas and the game Tuesday night.
Oh, well, before that, I think we got to talk about the greatest hockey moment in the last 30 years.
Well, I was going to get to that. Okay.
Let's be like the Washington Post. Let's put the good story on page 7, which no one reads, and let's give them the what the F, Dallas? How do you give up those goals? You know what's the funny part about that? I put the game on in the third period just to kind of like unwind before, you know, we had our strategy session yesterday. After that, I put on the game. And I'm like, oh, Dallas is going to win. They're going to lock this one up pretty good. And then all of a sudden they went to overtime and lost. I was like, look, that's why you pull the goalie. That's why you play the game. You don't stop. Yeah. You just, you know.
So with a minute and 16 left in overtime, after Suter scored 2 of Vancouver's 3, 6-on-5 goals in the final minute of regulation, and the Canucks made NHL history by stunning the Dallas Stars 6-5. Suter's second goal tied the score 5-5 with 5.2 seconds remaining and sent Vancouver into the record books.
Yeah.
According to the research, the Canucks are the first team in NHL history to overcome a 3-goal deficit in the final minute of regulation.
I mean, you just keep playing. They had their... Their offense working. I mean, Dallas wasn't. They didn't have their A game in the last minute. It's a good sucker punch, good gut check, going into the playoffs. Because now you know, like, hey, this could happen. We can't.
Yeah, we need you to can't be better. Take a second. You can't yeah. take a second off.
Yeah, this is what happened. It was kind of reminded me of the classic 1996 hockey movie, D3, the Mighty Ducks. Their first JV game, they're up 9 goals or whatever it is, and then they end up tying.
Yeah,
in the last minute of the game, and they just kind of like you can't. It's just perfect analogy. You can't you know put your foot off the gas. You got to play to the whistle and you know walk away with 2 points, not one. And now you left Vancouver now still fighting for a spot. I believe they're still kind of live for the wild card.
Fair. Well, here's the interesting part. Vancouver was facing elimination completely. They lost tonight. They were not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
What does this say for the future? Do you think Vancouver has a shot?
they're still alive, and I think if it all comes down to this, Minnesota and Calgary need to lose the next 4 to 5 games, and Vancouver just needs to go on a tear, and then they're in.
I mean, I think they're feeling up a tear right now. I think they're ready for it.
Yeah, they are. They have 4 games left. They need to win out. They honestly just have to win out, and then that will put them over Minnesota, who are at 91 points in the second wild card. They're not going to catch St. Louis. They have 85 points, so the 8 points will put them, you know, at 93, which will put them in the playoffs if Minnesota and Calgary end up, you know, quote unquote, shitting the bed. But Calgary has 1 game in hand. They play tonight, and if they win tonight, you know, that just creates a little bit more of a challenge, but they're live, you know.
Right. It's an impressive feat, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you just maybe that's the thing they need to get into the playoffs, that turnaround, that game. So
we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting 4 games, that's for sure. Like, you know, and I have it set up for later what's left to, but you know, it's very interesting that all of this matters. And even down to this point, we have not locked in a playoffs yet with literally, you know, less than a week left.
Yeah, man.
All right. Love it. So, are we going to go move to Arlington, Virginia now? I don't want to bury it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I just figured, you know, we don't have to bury the lead. Like, you know, all the good stories and the whatever your favorite news publication they put on the wrong page. But hey, OV 895. Tremendous feat. Awesome. I had the fortune of being there. My cousin, who's an avid sports fan, got the tickets late Sunday morning or late Sunday night, early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then I had to make a quote unquote mad dash to the to UBS Arena, which is, I don't know, maybe less than 2 hours from my house via the train. Made it there on time, got in there, and got to see history, which is fantastic.
What was it like? Just describe the situation.
There was an energy in the room, and the fact that more than half of the arena was Washington Capitol fans, it didn't feel like an Islanders home game. Although Islanders were playing a lot better, it didn't feel like a home game, and every time he touched the puck, there was just like this, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
just it.
Everything like stood still. There wasn't people talking. There wasn't people. It was just like eyes on. And, you know, the second period comes up. They get a power play. He gets the puck in his office. A shot he's taken 1,000 times. Yeah. Goes in. Belly flops. And it was awesome. My cousin got a great video, which I've posted on the Drive the Ants Hockey Instagram.
Awesome.
We are going to post it on the YouTube page in the next week or so when we get that live. Spoiler alert. And great ceremony. I mean, Bettman came out. Gretzky came out. His family came out, you know, and just it was a great celebration. And, you know, the one thing I always take away from hockey is it's always a team sport. And he made sure that he thanked his teammates. He thanked, you know, everyone who helped him along the way. And he, there was, I forget which goalie it was. It could have been Darcy Kemp. I forget who, one of the goalies that he played with, he talked to him and thanked him for helping him get to the goal. And he goes, I was just a goalie, man. I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, yeah, but you had 5 assists, and so you've helped me score 5 goals.
Huh.
And then the goalie's like, how do you know that? And he goes, I know everything about my goals.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, and he's just like he is the best energy guy. If you watch his videos, like he is a grown man having a lot of fun, which is awesome. And then they do the thing that's been on Instagram and weekly now is they sing bands to make you dance. And it's just hysterical because like the Capitals have the greatest like walkouts. They do a ton of handshakes. It's like they get the energy going before they hit the ice, and it's always a ripe of this. This year, they started doing bands to make you dance because Chychrun, the new addition, Jacob Chychrun, wore a headband. And Ovi just started saying bands to make you dance. That was it. has no other connotation. Dylan Strom talked about it on the Chicklets podcast this week because they asked him, where did this come from? Because it's just so random. Like, the song doesn't correlate to the game. And he goes, truthfully, this is what happened. And there you have it. And they're just like, all right, cool. We thought it would be a lot cool. Like, you know, thought it would be different, you know, story. But I thought it was pretty cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting angle I want to take on this story. And I very much want your opinion on it. So, you know, the Capitals have insisted in recent weeks that their focus has been on winning games, right?
Yep.
They want to get to, you know, making sure they make it to the playoffs. But it's hard not to, you know, admit that in the last 10 games or so, it's really been about giving Ovechkin the puck and getting him to that record. Now that's gone, their focus has to entirely be on, you know, the Winnipeg Jets and the Minnesota Wild. Does this, now that this kind of, you know, hump is over, that Ovechkin has got the record, does this help in the long run? Or is this kind of like, is their focus too shifted and now it's too little too late to overcome, you know, this necessary but like unique challenge?
I think it's good to get it out of the way.
Fair.
You know,
can't worry about it in the playoffs at all. Yeah,
the playoffs, I mean, they kind of, I think, I don't want to say, you know, it definitely, it is a distraction, even if it's subliminal, because you're thinking about, like, you know, getting those goals, getting him the puck, getting all that stuff. And then, yeah, maybe it took a little bit of a front seat the last couple games, but they got a few games left. They could dial it in. They got Ryan Leonard up from Boston College, who they signed. Fantastic player in college. He's going to be great for them in the playoffs. And, you know, they got a lot of guys. It's a very good team, a very young, fast team. And I think now that this is done, Ovechkin's going to kind of put the, you know, that's a bet. And, you know, as a captain, I can, you know, tell him to dial it in because playoffs are in a week. I think it's like a week and a half. I mean, the season ends, I believe, the 17th, and it's a few days after. It might be the Monday after that. You know, I don't know if they have a playoff game before Easter, but.
Yeah, if it's the 17th, it's less than a week away.
Correct. I know the Devils' last home game is the 16th, and then I know some people are playing on the 17th. And that's it. That's all she wrote. And then it's playoff time for the next 2 months. So with that being said, you know, I think they just dial it in. I think they have a really good team. I think they have great leadership. They're deep. Bunch of young guys like stepped up this year that really took that next step, like Connor McMichael. And, you know, and they got some scary players on the coming up, man. They got Cole Hudson coming up. That dude's going to be sick. I mean, if he's anything like his brother, which he is, it's like, good Lord, what a steal. But yeah, I feel like they'll be fine. You know, obviously this is an amazing moment for the team, for Ovechkin, of course, and for hockey. I mean, how many great, you know, I feel like this year has been hockey's year over, and I don't like to say it like this, but like, if you're a hockey fan or a basketball fan, this year has been so much better for hockey than it is for basketball. And obviously they're two different sports. They, you know, it's a different game, obviously, but Ovechkin hitting the goal mark, first time 30 years, breaks the record. Four nations, all, you know, all these cool things have been happening. Like, it just feels like we're on the upswing.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, man.
All right. Let's continue our discussion by moving to Ottawa and the Senators clinching a playoff spot for a team that hasn't seen the postseason since 2017. They've been rebuilding, and their entire, you know, the leaders on that team are all under 27. They are young. So this has been a rebuilding time. So since 2017, I think it's been a long journey. But, you know, yeah. Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stutzel,
Stutzla. Stutzla. Germans, they got those funky right. names with the Z.
Fair enough. But, yeah, so like they basically kind of just came out of nowhere, and Rangers, Boston, you know, coming kind of disappearing. the Senators took advantage and have clinched the playoffs. How are they going to do, this young team who hasn't seen the postseason? You know, they've worked for this so hard. What does it mean for this playoff run for them?
Yeah, I think it means everything for just the franchise getting back on the right foot. I mean, they've had talks of getting a new arena. Their owner died a few years back, new ownership. Just a lot of moving parts. And then the development of these young guys, like Brady Tkachuk, you mentioned him, Tim Stützle. Then you got the supporting cast, Jake Sanderson, Drake Batherson. They picked up Shane Pinto in the trade with Josh Norris. Brought in some veteran guys like...
Well, I don't want to overlook Linus Ullmark.
They're new goalie. Traded for the goalie.
And who's been doing really well, especially when they pair him with Anton Forsberg.
Yeah, I also just want to correct myself. It was they traded for Dylan Cousins, not Shane Pinto. Okay, Pinto likes to gamble, so he missed a couple games. That was last year. He's having a good year. But yeah, they brought in Ullmark to solidify their goaltending. That was a big area of concern. Did that, locked that in, and then they got guys like David Perron, who's a veteran guy, Stanley Cup champion, Claude Giroux, another solid veteran. So they got a good blend. They went out and I think I mentioned it before, they got Mike Amadio, who was won a Stanley Cup recently with Vegas. So they have a nice like foundation, and I think it really worked well for them. They blended that youth and some veterans. They traded for Zutterlin from San Jose, who I really like. They traded for him this year, as well as Dylan Cousins. And they have a pretty solid team. I mean, they've shown over the last couple of years, like if they could put it together, they're going to be scary. And look, they got the wild card. They locked it up. They also are closing it out. I think they have 90 points. So it's not like they're sneaking in. Like they solidified themselves as a contender. Yeah, they have 90 points. I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think they did it, which is impressive. And I think that, you know, they got good leaders there. I think Tkachuk is gonna put his leadership hat on, and you know, I can see them getting a nice little first round sneak through upset, especially if they play Toronto. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's kind of all the big news I had, kind of planned for this evening. Do you have any other news before we move to the future and the playoffs picture? Moving in. Now, again, we're going to discuss the actual playoffs next week when we actually have in playoff season.
One thing I wanted to touch on was Kucherov, Nikita Kucherov, third consecutive 80 assist season, third consecutive 100 point season. Right on Nathan McKinnon's heels to get the Hart. And he's like, people have said he's like an underrated superstar. A guy, he's year in and year out, plays lights out. He plays on a team. He's won two Stanley Cups in the last 5 years. Tampa's a wagon. And like, you just never hear of him. You always hear of McKinnon, Dreisaitl, McDavid. He's up there every year. And I just want to highlight that because he's just a phenomenal player. I've gotten to see him play several times over the last couple of years. And like he's just as good as anybody, and he should definitely get that recognition. And yeah, he really likes to drink beers at the podium when he wins Stanley Cups. great footage of that in the bubble Stanley Cup.
Nice, yeah. 19 goal differential. Wow, yeah, okay. he has a shot at that MVP. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, he's right there. I mean, he's been putting up 2-3 points a game. You know, get back in the hunt of it, which is great. You know, he's phenomenal. And I think another thing that I was talking with my cousin about, shout out to my cousin, we're talking about, there really isn't a player that's going to catch Ovi that's currently playing. I don't see it. I mean, people talk about Austin Matthews. He's under 400 goals. Dreisaitl is at 399. Pasternak is in the 300s, and McDavid. Now, these guys all got to play another 10 years and average like 45, 50 goals.
Right.
Which, not saying they can't do it, but the odds are they're not going to do it. And they're superstars. I mean, I was looking at Ovechkin at the age of 30 had 525 goals. That's the benchmark. Where are you at 30? Because when you hit like 33, 34, 35, that's when you really start to see that dip in your production, your skill set. It just the way it happens. It happens to everybody. And there are a few outliers where it doesn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's going to be interesting to see. And that's what kind of makes it even more special, because I don't know if there is a player in the next 30 years that's going to, you know, I don't think he's going to come and do this, you know. It's great. Because it's cool. Like, he should have it for a long time. And a lot of people have said if he didn't have, and I don't like playing the what if game, the what if scenario, but it's valid. You know, his rookie year was delayed a year because he had the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
They had the COVID shortened season.
Yeah.
They had basically ended the season early, and they had a shortened season of 50 games, and then they had the shortened lockout season. So the question is, if he didn't miss all that time, not because of anything, and that's not even injury. He only missed 35 games due to injury in his career. So it's not like he was ever really injured.
Yeah.
Imagine how many goals he would have had if with those things not happening. Are we talking that we could have, honestly, and it's not far off, he could have been a 1,000-goal scorer. Now, he says next year, says last year, he's done. Doesn't, you know, obviously hit the record. So he's going to get, you know, if he replicates this year, he gets another 40 goals, puts him at around 935 goals. So, you know, it's easy to say, like, hey, he could have been a 1,000-goal scorer. So, some food for thought. That would have been pretty sick.
It would have been pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
All right.
You know, until they bring out the gold puck that counts for 2 goals on a power play, I don't know if anyone's going to
We're not playing NHL.
No, we're not playing, what was it, three NHL Street or whatever it is?
Yeah, like, 3-on-3. Yeah. That game was super fun.
Yeah. Like Wayne Gretzky hockey.
Yeah.
I loved that as a kid. I played that all the time.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to tonight and the week ahead. While it's not nearly as busy as yesterday's 10 game, you know, it's 5 nights, 5 games, isn't it? But there's a lot of playoff ramifications, so I'm going to go through all 5 matchups, and we're going to just give a little brief summary. We'll see if this brief summary, I'm trying to get this in 20 minutes, in 10 minutes, so we can give our 30-minute line, but let's see how good we are at that. Let's say Toronto Maple Leafs at Tampa Bay Lightning. While the Leafs appear destined for a top spot in the Atlantic, the Lightning can still catch them for number 1 seed. If the Lightning are going to do it, a game like this is prime opportunity to make up ground with a regulation win. Thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, they're both playing their 78th game. If Tampa wins, they are tied at 98 points apiece. If they lose, then they're down 4, and it's a lot of, you know, they got to win 3 in a row, and Tampa needs to lose 3 in a row. So it just really comes down to, I would much rather be the 1 seed than the 2 or 3 seed.
Fair.
Because, you know, that's just me. And, you know, they're in the they're tied right now in the 3rd. So anything could happen. I mean, they could pull it off.
Fair enough. All right, moving down the list. Philadelphia Flyers and New York Rangers. Rangers have lost most recent games by a combined score of 9-1, and their playoff hopes dwindling. A win over the Flyers would be a good first step to potentially coming back.
Yep.
Philly is 4th in the draft lottery order heading into this matchup, and bear in mind the Flyers also own first-round picks of the Colorado Avalanche and the Edmonton Oilers. So this is really just for the Flyers about, you know,
It's a tough place to be if you're a fan, because on one hand, you want to see them beat a rival. On the other hand, you want to get the best draft picks. So it's kind of that toss up, but you play the game to win. You don't play the game for draft picks.
Yeah, of course.
Bury your fucking rival. If you can knock them out tonight, because I think they're probably done if they lose tonight.
The Rangers, yeah, they're on the bubble.
Detroit, Rangers, Islanders, and Columbus are all at 79 points. If they lose, I feel like they're out. I don't know. I mean, obviously, the math might work a little bit differently, but you know, I feel like if they lose, they're not doing themselves any favors. They're losing currently now. 2-1. They benched their Gabe Perreault, who they signed his entry level contract. He played three games. They just benched him. I don't know what the fuck's going on with the Rangers.
Damn.
I don't know what they're trying to do there. They need to figure it out right away because like there's just no communication going on, and it just tells.
Yeah.
Like, this team should be locked into the Metro, not hoping to get into the wild card. So, going back to it, Flyers bury the Rangers, you know, stick it to them. No better bookmark in a challenging season than knocking out a rival of the playoffs.
Fair enough. All right. San Jose. So how's that game going, by the way? Philadelphia.
They're up 2-1 in the second with a minute left.
Philadelphia is?
Yeah. And we shouldn't have talked because now it's tied. Hey,
listen.
If they go into overtime, then they get 1 point, not two. That could be the difference because of tiebreaker. So
that's true.
But I'm still standing true. Philly, fucking bury them.
All right. Let's go to San Jose Sharks and Minnesota Wild. Speaking of occupying a great place in the draft lottery order, Sharks are number one, and they are four points clear of the Chicago Blackhawks. The Wild are holding on to the second Western wildcard spot, and they enter the evening 4 points up on the Flames.
Yeah, the Minnesota needs to win out. Calgary is playing very well. They're playing tonight against Anaheim, who's been playing very well in their own right. So it's not
spoilers. That's the last game I was going to talk about. But yeah,
Well, I'm just
no, I know it's good. It's fine.
I'm just an eager fan of the hockey.
Fair. No, it's fine.
Minnesota needs to win out. Great news today: Eric Sinek and Kaprizov are in. They're playing. They're back in the fold. This team is now all back together for the last couple games. They're revving it up, and you know, with them in the lineup, it just gives them all the more firepower to get those points, get those goals, and lock in that playoff spot.
Fair enough. All right, St. Louis Blues at Edmonton Oilers. The Blues' 12 winning streak came to a halt Monday at the hands of Winnipeg. And they'll be looking to start another one here against the Oilers. St. Louis is in the first wildcard position, 2 points ahead of the Wild. The Oilers appear to be a lock for number three in the Pacific, bringing on first-round matchup with Los Angeles Kings for the fourth straight postseason. What do you think?
They got McDavid back. Draisaitl's out. Kane's out. Edmonton's like a battered bunch of folks. And, you know, St. Louis is firing on all cylinders. I think, McDavid or not, there's a lot that this St. Louis team's doing. You know, I think the Four Nations was that turning point for Bennington because he has been lights out, and I know I've been critical of him in the past, but I will not count this man out in the way he plays when it's on the line because he finds another gear, and it just shows. Just like 2019, like they're just found another gear, and this team is lights out. So I feel Edmonton's, you know, they just got too many injuries, and I don't know, you know, you can only patch a flat so many times until you have to replace the wheel, and I feel like this wheel's got coming off the rails.
Fair enough. All right. Last but certainly not least, those games haven't started yet, so we can't look at
that. Yeah, they're on in an hour.
Yeah. Calgary Flames and Anaheim Ducks. Calgary's chances into the wild card kind of faded recently. So they need to get 2 points out of this game.
Yeah.
They are 4 points back for the Wild for the final spot. The Ducks enter the contest number 8 in lottery order, right in a jumble of teams between 73 and 76. So they can move up and down pretty easily. And, you know, what are your thoughts?
You know, they're playing pretty well. 6 of the last 10 they've won. They got good goaltending. Team's doing pretty good. But they're running into a team that all year has been very persistent. They've grown, and that is Anaheim. They've gotten really strong play out of their whole team's pretty much young. And then they're some good veteran leadership there. You know, they found their goaltender. They have two solid goaltenders, but, you know, Darcel is going to be their goaltender of the future. They still have John Gibson, who's been phenomenal for them. And, you know, it's not an easy win. You know, they're not a team that's going to be a pushover. And like I said with Philly, I mean, what great way to, like, just not to win out, even though you're not going to make the playoffs, but you knock other people out of the playoffs. So those are little benchmarks you put on the you know, the year in review board. Like, hey, we knock this team out and we knock this team out. You know, and if they win today, I feel like they're right there. You know, they got Calgary's got five games left, and if they, you know, they lose tonight, it makes, and Minnesota and St. Louis wins, it's four point swing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Anaheim's going to be a scary team the next year or two, man. They got a lot of good players.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like a lot of, you know, they got Carlson, Gauthier, McTavish, Troy Terry, then the young defenseman, Jackson Lacombe. Breakout year. I have him on my fantasy team. Thank you very much for following. And
very good. All right. Well, last but certainly not least, let's go over the current playoff matchups. I'm just going to go through them real quick, and you tell me how much is likely to change. So if the playoffs were to happen today and not on the 17th, it would be in round one, Toronto and Ottawa, Tampa Bay and Florida, or the Panthers, Washington Capitals and the Canadiens, Carolina Hurricanes and the Devils. Then in the Western Conference, we have the Jets and the Wild, Stars and Avalanche, Golden Knights and St. Louis and the Blues, and the Kings and Edmonton. I think those are pretty set. I don't see many of those changing, but it's very, very possible. What are your thoughts?
I think this is the playoffs. I don't think the teams that are on the bubble are going to be able to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think this is the lock. And although I did say I wanted to see Detroit make it, I feel like there's just a lot of moving parts. And I mean, if New York loses today, feel a little bit better because there's one less team they have to kind of compete against.
Fair.
You know, but on the flip side, Montreal wins tomorrow, then it's just, I think there's a lot of moving parts, but I think we're locked in to where it's going to be going forward next week. Now, depending on wins and losses, maybe Toronto and Tampa flip-flop or, you know, something of that happens. But, you know, I think we're locked into to where we're at.
Very good, very good. All right. Well, that is all I had. What about you? Anything else you want to talk about? I think we're ready. We're ready to talk about next week when this stuff really kicks off.
Yeah,
and we can get to a deep analysis of every single game we're going to do. So
I feel pretty good. I feel like we're right there. You know, this is the calm before the playoff storm. The waves come crashing down, and we're in the thick of it for the next like 4 or 5 weeks.
Fair enough. Well, that about wraps it up for this edition of Drive to Antaki. Thank you so much all for joining us. We'll be here back next week to talk playoffs. It'll be playoff time. All right. Have a wonderful night, everyone.